Everyone wants to have a good outlook. Where do you go for yours? For Mercer County's outlook, the decision's easy. Mercer County Outlook. If you've never been, you've been missing out. Hop on to MercerCountyOutlook.com and take a peek. Community events in the Mercer County area and today's news today, not tomorrow. It's free to read and, hey, no paper to throw away. Have a good outlook at Mercer County Outlook. MercerCountyOutlook.com.
Talking right now with Salina native and a guy that started out right in Mercer County as a newspaper writer. He started young. He was at the Salina Daily Standard. Now he's at the San Jose Mercury News, Mark Purdy. Mark, what a great pleasure to have you on today.
Hey, it's always always fun to talk to a fellow Mercer Countyan. I still have a lot of fondness for that place. You're right. I started out at the Daily Standard when I was in high school. The sports editor there at that time, great guy named Bob Shraluka. I was playing sports at Salina High. I was like the backup quarterback and the third string basketball guard. And, Bob said, and I was also writing for the school paper, which at that time it was called the Tattler, and put out the Salina Daily Standard put it out. And Bob said, "No, Purdy, I've seen you play. I've seen you write. You write a lot better than you play." If you quit the team and come to work for me on Friday nights covering high school, I'll pay you $15. And this was in, like, fall of 68 or 69. And gas was 35 cents a gallon, yeah. And what movies were a buck and a quarter. So $15 was a lot of money, and I took about 3 seconds and said yes. And next thing you know, I became an actual professional sports journalist.
So how big was that in your career to get started like that by somebody like him saying, "Hey, we could use you"?
I'll always owe Bob for that. You know, he was so good. He now lives in Decatur, Indiana. He was the editor of the paper there, and he just being encouraging, and because I know I wasn't that good. You know, I was 17 years old or whatever, 16, 17 years old. But he said, "Here's how to handle this. Here's how to handle that." And a lot of fun stories. I remember covering a game in Rockford, and there was the opening game of the year, and they didn't have any game programs. So, I didn't know who any of the players were, right? Because the numbers were like, so one of the administrators said, "Well, go stand next to the dad. He knows everything. He knows the numbers." So I stand next to the dad, and he said, "Well, I want to watch the game, but I'll help you out with the numbers if you make sure you mention my son's name in the story." And I said, "Okay, fine." I said, "Who's your son?" "He's an offensive guard." "You know how hard it is to name an offensive guard in a story, you know?"
It's a good story, though.
Yeah, yeah. So walking up and down those sidelines covering these games, you learn a lot. And then, went to college at Northwestern and fell in with the school newspaper crowd there. And they said, "This is a true story." They said, "Well, what have you done?" And I said, "Well, I covered sports for my school newspaper." They said, "Well, great. We need sports reporters. Get on the bus. There's a bus to Bloomington, Indiana this afternoon. There's a freshman football game." In those days, they had freshman football on the weekend. And I said, "Great, where do I stay?" He said, "Good luck."
Yeah.
And so I rode the bus down there, and I think I crashed at a fraternity house or something. Helped the guys cover the varsity game the next day. And then I ended up writing sports for the school newspaper there. And then when the newspapers in those days would come around and interview, and they'd say, "Well, what have you done?" I said, "Well, I like to write all kinds of things, but I've covered sports for the school newspaper and my hometown newspaper." "Great, we can cover sports for us." And, next thing you know, I'm working for the Dayton Journal-Herald and then the Cincinnati Inquirer, then the Los Angeles Times, and then out here in San Jose.
Is the key, Mark, do you think, and I'm using this from my experience, you just got to do whatever somebody asks you. You don't want to ever say no, because you say no, you may never hear from them again.
You learn that. I learned that. Yes. I mean, that's if I give any advice to young people, probably in any profession, the answer is always yes. The answer is always yes. Can you do this? The answer is always yes. And even if you don't, if you're honest and you say, "Well, I don't know exactly how to do that, but I really want to try that." Yeah, the answer is always yes. And in sports, do you want to cover hockey? Yes. Do you want to cover this? Yes. It's the way to get your foot in the door, but then establish yourself. And plus, it's interesting. I think the number one requirement for any journalist is curiosity and being able to you know, go in and not be afraid to ask stupid questions. If you ask, ask stupid questions to learn. It's been a great. I've received. I'm now 40 years into the business. Such a great education, just about everything. You know, I've covered 13 Olympics all around the world, and the yacht races in Perth, Australia, the Pan American Games in Havana, Cuba. Just you know, being curious and asking questions, and then trying to produce complete sentences in English that explain it to people. It's been a terrific. It's really like been going to college almost for like 40 years.
You know, when you look at it, you talked about all the things you've done. Is there something you'd still like to do that you haven't done yet that you haven't covered? Is there one thing say, man, if I could just cover that, that would close the book and I could probably retire happy when it's time?
Wow. You know, I'm always worried about the next column. You know, don't try to think in big picture. I guess, you know, I'd love to cover another Salina St. Mary's football game once.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. I mean, when I started out at the Dayton Journal Herald, I was covering high school sports. And love doing that on Friday nights. But try to answer your question seriously, although that'd be fun to do. I mean, yeah. It'd be fun to go back and just kind of do that. But, you know, I've never...
Good question, huh, Mark?
I've never covered the Tour de France. I don't know that that's like a nagging part of my soul that would want to do that. But it's such an epic event, and it looks really cool on TV. I've never done that. I covered some World Cup soccer when it was here, but not much. No, I've been really lucky. I think I kind of checked off all the check marks of places and things I wanted to see and do.
And is there one moment in your career that you say, wow, that was a great sports moment? I mean, you've been to a lot of things. I know that you've been to Super Bowls, everything. But is there one that says, that's the one I'm going to remember and talk about when I'm in the nursing home or whatever, you know?
Well, you know, the first Olympics I covered was Lake Placid. And So I covered the USA-USSR hockey game, the famous Miracle on Ice game that they later made the film about. And, I would have been 26, 27 years old. And, you know, to be in that arena that day, knowing the implications of that game and all the stuff swirling around that in this little town in New York. I don't know if anybody's ever been to Lake Placid. At that time, it was like a one-stoplight town. And they'll never take the Winter Olympics to probably a place that small again. And to have watched that kind of progress through it wasn't just that one day, just watched through the tournament and seeing the Soviet team be so dominant and the U.S. team kind of scuffling along and these characters they had on that team, Mike Rizzioni and Mark Pavlich and then Herb Brooks as a coach, and then to experience that, I don't know that I'll ever cover anything that epic or exciting again, although... you know, some other things have come close. I mean, Jack Nicklaus winning the Masters in '86 when he was 40-something. That was pretty darn cool to be at the course that day to hear those waves of applause going across the course. And but I, you know, Dave, the moments that I get caught up in are not necessarily the ones that, I mean, yeah, you know, covering... out here in San Jose in the Bay Area, you know, I covered those great 49er teams with Joe Montana and Ronnie Lott and those guys, and, you know, got to know those guys a little bit, which was really fun and really, you know, intense. And covering those Super Bowls that they won was really cool. But I kind of gravitate in terms of my personal memories to and moments a lot of people maybe. I remember at the Olympics in Athens, there was this Greek weightlifter who was just hanging on. His body had broken down, but he wanted to compete in the Olympics in his home country. And I had heard about this story, and I don't even know if this made it that much on NBC, but being in that weightlifting hall that day, and this guy, he was just struggling, and he ended up winning a bronze medal. His name was Piros Dimas, and just to hear his name being chanted by his countrymen, and finally, you know, weightlifting is such a theatrical event anyway, and then when he pushed that final weight up to get the bronze medal, and the place just exploded, and he dropped it, and he took off his shoes, which is the kind of the international symbol for I'm quitting, took off his shoes, left them on the mat with the weight, and just walked off, and the place just for 10 minutes was just nuts, and he came out and took several bows. The poor guys that won the gold and the silver were totally ignored.
That's cool.
This guy, just to see that guy have that moment in front of his countrymen, you know, that's not something probably a lot of people would, you know, put in the same area as a Super Bowl or you know, the Masters or U.S. Open or the World Series or some of the other Final Fours, but those are really precious moments, human moments, right? I think anyone can understand.
Who is one person that you have really enjoyed talking to and interviewing and who you made a really good connection with? If you look back and you're writing a book and you're saying, this guy was really, or this girl was really a good connection for me and I loved covering her or him.
Yeah. Well, there are several. I mean, early on, Al McGuire, the coach at Marquette, for some reason he and I hit it off, and I first met him when I was working in Cincinnati, covering the University of Cincinnati basketball team, and they played Marquette, and I interviewed Al, and he and I hit it off, and they ended up playing him in the tournament that year, and it turned out to be the year that Marquette won the national championship, spring of 77. And then I went out to work at the LA Times, and Al went into work in TV, and whenever he was in town, I'd call up, and we'd have lunch, and he gave me some great interviews and just was a really interesting guy. You know, Jack Nicklaus, I think is just aces. He, you know, even when I was like nobody, I'm still nobody, but even when I was just a kid at the Dayton Journal Herald covering golf, and I'm talking now this is 1974, 75, so I'd have been 21, 22, 23. He would always make time if you had a good question. You know, he'd always make time, and even, you know, I remember when he opened his Muirfield Village golf course in Columbus. The clubhouse wasn't even built yet, but he invited all the golf writers from all over the state to play the course before it was done. He was so proud of it.
Nice.
And we came in the back way and started on the 12th hole or something, and Jack came around and said, you know, what do you guys think of this? I'm 23 years old. I was like, why does Jack Nicklaus care what I think of his course, you know?
Nice.
And then through the years, you know, I covered the tournament out here at Pebble Beach in the Bay Area, I'd be in Florida covering spring training, and the golf tour would be there, and I'd go touch base with Jack, and he'd be on the driving range. He'd go, oh, hi, you know, how, and, you know, what do you got for me today, you know? And I think the classiest superstar ever, and the kids listening to this, you know, there's a reason Tiger Woods has not caught Jack Nicklaus's record. This looks like it's no against Tiger's injuries, but this is going to be another great year for Nicklaus because Tiger won't win any more majors to catch him. So Jack, you know, out here in the Bay Area, around a lot, has been really, really interesting guy. He stayed around after done with the 49ers, done a lot of great philanthropic thing, and I counted a good day when I get to spend some time with Ron. And then Kerry Walsh, the beach volleyball player, is from San Jose and went to the same high school my kids did, Archbishop Minnie High.
Nice.
And I've known her and her family a long time just because of that connection. And to cover her at three or four different Olympics and you know, she's never had, I don't think she's ever had a, you know, she gets cranky sometimes, and that, you know, sometimes she'll, the last Olympics I said, well, you know, I can tell, you know, now that you're older, you know, you kind of got to play the angles a little more and, you know, maybe not get to, you know, quite as many balls. She goes, are you saying I slowed down? I said, well, I'm not saying you slowed down. I said, I think you're, you know,
smarter.
Like all athletes in all sports, you get smarter as you get older. And he said, you know, I said, you know, she goes, you crap head. I said, I'll consider that a compliment that you're close enough to me that you can call me that name. She goes, well, you watch me during this tournament. This was in London. You watch me in this tournament. You tell me if I slipped any at the end of it. You tell me, you know, because we're going to win this thing. And, of course, she did, and then afterwards I had to acknowledge, all right, I was wrong. So it has been a terrific way to make a living, and it's not over yet. I think a few more years to kick around.
Real quick, before I let you go, you know, we're both Mercer County boys, went to Salina, Salina Bulldogs. You mentioned Salina, St. Mary's. I graduated with your sister, Jamie. Lisa was a few years younger than me, was a cheerleader there. You know, it was just a really good place to be brought up as a kid, wasn't it, in Salina?
My father was president of the school board, and Dave, you know, when they were building the new high school, which was in about 1965, right?
Yep.
I would have been 10, 11, 12, and he was just so proud of taking any out-of-town visitors over there during the construction. And he'd give us tours of the construction of the high school, and he'd say, here's the language lab. You know, he cared about that town so much, and I think that, and the schools particularly, and he infused that into his kids. I know both my sisters and my brother, and I'll admit it. I was a real smart aleck in school. I probably gave the teachers way too much trouble, and in junior high I got paddled.
Yeah, I got it as a senior.
Anymore.
I got it
yeah,
as a senior.
You know, I was. Here's the crazy part, Dave. So yeah, I was a smart aleck who would write stuff that the English teachers would say, "This is crazy. What are you? You know, you're way out there. You know." And it turns out I made a living doing that.
Yeah, and getting paid for it.
You don't know what it would be like if you grew up somewhere else. You didn't have mm-hmm. that experience. But the people in that town were always supportive, as you know, goofy as some of the stuff we did. You know, there were a lot of really good lessons learned there, and just that atmosphere that. You know, this matters. This matters. You're representing your town. You're representing your school.
Yep.
I think that really played a big part in kind of the way I feel today about anything I do. You know, I teach it to your kids, right? You're part of
yep.
this family. You know, you gotta hold up this name, and that's you know, that comes from that town.
Well, Mark, thanks so much for taking time out. I love reading your stuff, and with Facebook now and the if you lived in Mercer County part, we get to see all these old pictures and stuff. It's just kind of fun to get to talk with friends from Salina.
Yeah, all the places I used to go and get in trouble. But hey, it's been great talking to you, Dave. Anybody who wants to read my stuff, if they mm-hmm. have a few spare minutes and want to check in, you can go to mercurynews.com, just the way it sounds, mercurynews.com, and go to the sports webpage, and all my stuff should be archived there. And I've even been doing a little blogging.
Yep.
So I if you're curious, I hope. And if you and most importantly, if anybody has any ideas, I always say I'm an equal opportunity columnist. I steal ideas from anybody. So if anybody has ideas for a column or something that you know think might be interesting to address, please send them along.
I'll put a link on the podcast too. That'll make it easy for people. So.
Great.
Good. Hey, we've been talking with Mark Purdy, former Salina Bulldog, now at the San Jose Mercury News. For the StateLineSportsNetwork.com, I'm Dave Schmidt.
Everyone wants to have a good outlook. Where do you go for yours? For Mercer County's outlook, the decision's easy. Mercer County Outlook. If you've never been, you've been missing out. Hop on to MercerCountyOutlook.com and take a peek. Community events in the Mercer County area and today's news today, not tomorrow. It's free to read and, hey, no paper to throw away. Have a good outlook at Mercer County Outlook. MercerCountyOutlook.com.